Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Pam Larry. Pam calls herself the initial instigator of the Genetically Modified Labeling Act in California. Pam's working with a lot of people throughout the state of California, including Humboldt County, to bring an initiative to our ballot that will require that foods containing genetically modified ingredients be labeled. Pam, this seems like such an obvious thing. We aren't talking about banning GMOs with this initiative. We're just talking about labeling them. What's the problem?
I think a big part about it is there just isn't very much education about the issue. People don't know the difference between, for instance, a genetically engineered ingredient and something that has been hybridized. People that I talk to, very intelligent people who eat organic foods, think it's just basically hybrids on steroids, and it's a completely different process. How we define genetically engineered food in this initiative is it's a laboratory process that would not happen in nature. It's basically where they take genetic material from one plant, animal, bacteria, you know, something, and insert it into another plant, animal, bacteria, yeast, or whatever.
Right. So it's, you could see GE, genetically engineered, GMO, genetically modified organisms.
Yes. GMO is a term that's, you know, caught the fancy of our public and is used extensively in Europe. And a lot of the people that are involved in the industry and in the science community refer to them as genetically engineered.
Now, one of the interesting things about this whole issue, I find, is that when people are surveyed about this, most people would like to have these things labeled.
Yes. So depending on the survey you read or you look at or reference, it's anywhere between 78 to 96% of all people want genetically engineered foods labeled.
If that many people want it done, it seems like something that the legislators would be all over, you know, trying to do something that would at least generate some popularity for themselves. What is the history of this, and has it been tried before?
Labeling has been before Congress, one form or another, since 1999. There is presently a bill authored by Dennis Kucinich before the national legislature to get genetically engineered foods labeled. I think Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer were even involved in it at one point. On the state level, there have been numerous attempts. There was an attempt to get cloned food, which is not the same process, but does include some genetically engineered stuff in it, in 2008, and that actually made it through the California state legislature, but then was vetoed. In 2008, the California State Grange tried to get genetically engineered foods labeled through the legislature. No one would touch it. 2011, Assemblyman Huffman from Marin introduced a genetically engineered fish labeling act, because genetically engineered salmon has been before the FDA since last year for deregulation and is poised to be deregulated any moment. We never know. And that never got out of the Appropriations Committee. So he pulled it and put it on the shelf to be reintroduced, hopefully, this January. But it doesn't go anywhere, basically. There are like 14 other states around the country that have legislation, and it never moves.
It's such an interesting thing that everybody seems to want it, or most of the public seems to want it. It's a good thing that the state of California has the initiative process. And as I understand it, not all states have that same process.
No, only 23 states have the initiative process.
And so this way we can, you know, say, legislators, you're not doing your job. You're not doing these things that we want you to do. And
right.
So we're going to force it to happen.
Right. And that's what the whole initiative process was designed for. Unfortunately, as time has gone on, it's become more of a thing of who has the most money to survive and make it happen. And many of the initiatives are actually bought. This was begun on a grassroots level. I started this. I've been traveling around the state, and there are over 100 leaders that we have right now in communities, all the way from San Diego all the way up to Arcata, that are joining hands, organizing their communities, educating people. We're now organizing to get the signature gathering going. We have attracted the attention of some bigger players, different organizations. It's like we have the grassroots, but we cannot do this alone. We need every organization on board. I've been in touch with the California State Student Sustainability Coalition. There's a branch up in Humboldt. I've been talking to a young man named Eric and want to do some work with them. We're working with the Center for Food Safety and the Institute for Responsible Technology, the Organic Consumer Association, and different businesses are going to come on board. We need money to have commercials next year. So it's growing from one person who started with me on March 10th to now being this, you know, pretty much international endeavor, because people from around the world have helped write it. So it's pretty cool what's happened.
It is pretty cool. Grassroots things always are really cool because you get to see the people act and take control of things. So could you tell me some of the reasons why there are concerns about GMO products?
Well, the biggest one is that there are no long-term studies on humans. There are actually no long-term studies on animals either. Animal studies indicate problems with increased allergies, increased infertility issues, increased problems with digestive systems. There are all sorts of things that are going on in the human population that can't be explained. The biggest one being a big rise in allergies in children. I was talking with a pediatrician, and she was saying that she has never seen, she's been a pediatrician for 25 years, and has never seen this level of allergies and inconsolable babies that just cannot be soothed. Now, one cannot point directly to genetically engineered foods because nothing's labeled, and we don't know. So our big thing is let's get them labeled so we can start studying them and make sure that they aren't contributing to these long-term chronic problems that people have.
Now, currently, if you buy organic, 100% organic items, the assumption is that there are no GMO foods that are in those.
Right.
But one of the concerns is, of course, things that are pollinated through airborne processes like corn. If you have your organic field and it's right next to a big old conventional field and they're using genetically modified organisms, when the wind blows and that corn is being pollinated, there's no control over that.
Yes, that is true.
So this is even something that affects, even if you're buying 100% organic, you should be concerned about this.
People should educate themselves. The best options we have right now available to us, that if you buy USDA certified organic, what that means is that in order to maintain that status, it has to be 95% organic, all right? There's such a high contamination level and pesticides and all sorts of different things that, you know, they cannot assure that anything can be 100% organic because it's just impossible. Along with that, if you buy packaged food, things with the verified certification of the non-GMO project, you can be assured that that product, so that corn, would have been tested in two different ways, would be no more than 0.9% contaminated, which is what the EU standard is.
Okay, what needs to happen to get this initiative on the ballot? What's the sort of timeline for that?
Okay, so the timeline is that experts have been seriously writing and spending lots of time going over and over again to write the best initiative possible. They have pored over it. They have referenced. They have contacted people in Europe that wrote the EU thing. They've been all over the place with all sorts of considerations. Once that's completed, it's handed in to the Attorney General of the state of California. It then goes to them, they have it for a while, goes to Secretary of State, goes to a fiscal committee for analysis, and then after about 30 to 60 days, probably more on the end of 60, the committee gets it back, and we have then 150 days to get the signatures required. You know, when we get it back, it'll have its number, so then it'll be prop whatever, and it'll have a title and all that kind of good stuff. Then we have 150 days to get 504,760 qualifying signatures. And a good qualifying rate is about 75%, so we have to get more than that. We're shooting for about 780,000 signatures.
If people want to get involved in this, how do they get in contact with somebody local?
There are two ways that you can do that. One would be to go to the website, which is labelgmos.org. If you go onto the contact link, you'll see find a local group, and you'll see both a group in Redway and a group in Arcata, Eureka. Write in your little notes, telling them you're interested in working with them, and they will contact you back. We do not have the local folks' contact information on the site because we want them to remain private. The other thing that you can do is you can go on to Facebook. There is a GMO-free Sohum, I believe, and there might be a GMO-free Arcata. Just put in, you know, some form of GMO labeling, Sohum or Arcata, and see what comes up. And if neither one of those work, just contact us through the website directly and we'll hook you up.
That sounds great. This has been a pleasure talking with Pam Larry, food activist. Thank you, Pam.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and I forgot I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.